Off the Ball, GAA.
It all depends on fitness, and it's a lot with the club, you know. Brian Stack is like the master key. He can do a lot of jobs there. And if he's out, you know, there's a lot of fires to put out as well.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join. The Football Pod Club on Off the Ball in partnership with AIB. Proud supporters of the AIB All-Ireland Club Championships for men's football, hurling, ladies football and camogie. Because we believe support is what gets you the life you're truly after.
How's it going? And you're very welcome back to the Football Pod with Paddy Andrews and James O'Donoghue. A week is an awful long time in football. The Gaeltacht boys, the Glenillan boys, the Ballymacgillica boys and the lads from Clareiro, they had was 8 days to get ready for their All-Ireland Club Finals, and what we were left with were two Kerry teams coming out on top, and we're going to get back to that in just a moment. James Donoghue, Paddy Andrews, how have your weeks been?
Fantastic, Tom.
Very good.
We'd like to get back on the health buzz, you know.
Oh?
A nice healthy eating, meal prepping, no drinking, exercise.
Lovely.
It makes some difference to it. I feel like you're different now this week than I did last week.
What's your main resolution, Jimmy?
I'm going to try and cut down on the old social media side of things, the old doom scrolling.
Well, how are you doing that? Go on, give us tips. Everyone can do with that. Come on, how are you doing it? Leave the phone in the car or what?
Well, to be fair, I did leave my phone in a friend's car for 2 days. That's a good start. It's like complete cold turkey.
Cold turkey. Yeah.
It is my phone. So that's a good start. And nice.
That'd be a good one, wouldn't it?
I delete the apps all the time, but then I just download them again straight away.
I have to screen record TikToks and send them to James now as WhatsApp videos if I want to send them to
TikTok, lads. I've never gone on it, thank God.
It's awful, but it's so addictive. It's insane.
You send me the most random videos on it. I don't even
know. Tommy be posting dances. Himself and Schieffer would be doing, like, you know, the trendy dances. And they'd have Bailey as well.
No. Hey, get out of that.
Tommy, just while we're live here, you just made a few bob, Tommy.
Let's not talk about that. That's my New Year's resolution. James, I'd like to hear that. Paddy, have you had a similar week? Because I don't know, like
life. I had a lovely week.
Beautiful.
I did. Yeah. I had a very, very, very quiet Christmas. We had a hectic build-up to it.
Yes.
And I was only doing a very little light work this week. I actually took a couple of extra days off. But I'm back in full-time tomorrow morning, so the party's over. But now, what was I... Similar to Jimmy, like, I would... what were we doing? A bit of training this week. Didn't do a lot of training. We had a bit of preparation before Christmas.
Okay.
Actually doing a bit of running, which is something I absolutely fucking hate. Like, and the bike cross ski is always gives those boys a shout out. 3 or 4 of them. And a bit of weight.
Jesus Christ, we're flattering them.
I did the weights, lads, right? This is pathetic. I was doing a bit of an L bench press. So I'm like, remember, no matter what age you are and you're in the gym, you do the bench. Yeah. I used the bench a little bit. Like, it wasn't bad. Like,
it's a mental thing, isn't it?
And I was benching 60 kg, like fucking chicken wings there, on Monday or Tuesday. And I swear to God, like the next day, my shoulder was fucked. Like, I was like 60 kg. Used to warm up with like 100 a few years back. You're such a little weasel when you stop playing. Like,
stick at it.
Man, how quickly you lose it in the gym, isn't it?
It takes months to fucking gain it, and then like literally. I was embarrassed lifting the fucking things. But so I was doing a bit of that this week. I'm just saying, no gargles now. I wouldn't have gargled. You wouldn't drink much in January, would you? Does anyone drink it?
We've gone to the cinema twice in the last week. We've gone to see. We haven't gone to see Saipan yet because I read Kevin Caban's review and he wasn't too happy about some of the inaccuracies. He said a silver watch.
Would you go and see it? Are you going to go and see that?
I am going to go see it, but I decided to go see Hamnet first. And The Housemaid. We said we'd give the two of them a go first. Two good movies.
Had you read the book? Had you read The Housemaid?
But I might go read them because I have a memory. I'll forget everything. Gaelic football. I can read
Ted Lasso. Big Hamnet
had serious impact on me last night. Oh, lads, it was, you had to be ready for it. But Killarney's, the pride of Killarney, Jessie Buckley, is in the mix for a Golden Globe and Oscar. She's in the talk for all of
them. They're on tonight. They're on tonight.
He must be very proud of her down there because she's absolutely extraordinary with Paul Mescal. Yeah.
She is. She was, I'd say a year ahead of me in school, she was in the prez in Killarney, I think. Just the girls' school. We were in the same, obviously, the boys' school, and they were in the girls' school. But she was always kind of famous, even at that age. Like, you knew she was going to go.
Famous through, like plays or what? At that age? Like?
Yeah, singing, acting. Okay. And then just we got, show business. When we were in college, she was on the show for not Broadway, but what's Broadway in the UK?
It was the play West Nancy End.
For the West End, and she was sensational, but she lost the final. But I'd say they knew she was too big for that.
Oh, was that the BBC show?
I'm second here, I'd be better for.
Yeah, was Andrew Lloyd Webber. Denise
Joseph's Technicolor Raincoat.
Schieffer played it for me during the week. It was I'd Do Anything was the name of the TV show. It was actually a good show. Mm-hmm. And it's on YouTube, all of Jesse Buckley's highlights on it. But if you watch it,
I wonder where he won one of
this. Yeah.
She's not winning the fucking Golden Globe anyway. Hey, Ernie.
No, scrappy. Yeah.
Oh, Jesse. What club was Jesse Buckley? Stevens, Crokes.
Legion.
Legion.
Is that true?
Yeah, it's just class coming out of Legion, left, right, and centre.
Is that true, Jim?
Like,
defamation case here.
I'm actually not sure, but I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, okay. We'll ask her. Next time we get Paul Mescal and Jesse Buckley on for an interview together.
Mescal's a big fan of the show.
He is. And he'll be delighted to have seen Kildare rack up their biggest win in a long time over the Dubs in pre-season. But we'll get to some of that trend later on from some of the pre-season games. James, the talk of Legion there, they caught my eye during the week. They got a little mention from Daryl Kinnaird. I'm not sure if you saw that, but Angaoltacht and the likes of Dingle and Ballymacgillagid and all the clubs that were in Tyrene and Eastkey and the Hurlin and Upper Tristram Ban from Tipperary, they were all trying to raise money in the last couple of weeks and to kind of fund their journeys to Croke Park. And it obviously cost a lot of money to run a club that have gone on an All-Ireland run with all the benefits that go with it. But Daryl Kinnaird had a big shout out for clubs like Killarney Legion who have lent the Field of Dreams to the clubs in West Kerry to train there because there isn't any lights or floodlit pitches that are suitable out in West Kerry or many of them anyway. So
the Theatre of Dreams, as we call it, Tyrene. We had Gaeltacht training there and we had Dingle training there, both All-Ireland finalists, one winner already.
Hmm.
What that's a trick though, for training.
But like, their lads are probably all in Cork and working, you know, places. Okay, like, it's stopped on the way back west. Like, it's another hour past Killarney. So if you are driving, you're getting out of the car there, like, a board, if you're driving all the way there, like, so.
Yeah.
Killarney suits.
Angaoltacht got the job done today. It was a tough watch that game. It was a throwback to, I suppose. We got used to watching. James, I irked a lot of Kerry fans who seem to think that I have a problem with Kerry football. I don't know where that's coming from, but I had the temerity. I had the temerity to say that Angaoltacht are trying to strangle the life out of the game early here. They've had three spells of over 2 minutes of slow possession. They're 2 points to one ahead of Glenillan. That wasn't necessarily a slight on Angaoltacht. I was just an observation of how they were playing. They can obviously mix it up. I've seen them against Salins. I saw them against yourselves, the Legion, when they had a big comeback against you, I think in the second half with the wind that day, but in the Kerry Championship on their run here. They're a team that can mix it up, but from the manner in which Glenillan set up, the game ends up 12-6. It's 9-1 at half time. Jesus, their ultras with their Vuvuzelas have more of an impact on the game, unfortunately, than the Glenillan footballers themselves. They'd have been gutted with how they performed, right?
Yeah. Yeah, look, when it's the winning team, you can't necessarily judge the winning team too harsh in how they played because they're reacting to what was put in front of them and they came with a plan and won the game. Like, finals are for winning. We say it all the time. If they had to hold that ball for 60 minutes and they won 1-0, they would do it. So the way Glenillan set up, it was defensive. And you're talking about two teams here in the All-Ireland final. They were nervy. You know, like Gaeltacht probably held on to the ball a little bit too long in some of those passages. Breen Begley was the one kind of trying to break the line. But I mean, at the end of the day, they worked it perfectly. They kicked 9 points in the first half and played a textbook first half. Rory Begley was outstanding. Obviously, he did the damage on the scoreboard. But you still had Cathal Begley, you know, Aidan O'Connor running the show. They just looked so in control. They looked a class above. I mean, there was never any doubt in my mind after about 15 minutes they were going to win the game.
Yeah.
Second half, obviously, they didn't play.
Yeah. No? Tommy, you
say
just...
Say that again, Paddy.
It was a brilliant performance. Absolutely.
Oh, from one great. I'm in no way
not the most exciting, but in terms of, as you said, Jimmy, total control, composure. Yeah. Would have known the challenge they were going to face with Clonillon. The danger of playing that way is if you go behind, that's the risk with it, that you have to kind of try and change your entire game plan and try and come out. And Clonillon just didn't do that. Whether it was the occasion, maybe got to some of the guys, you know. When you're trying to, a team is keeping the ball as well as on Gaeltacht do. They're so composed, typical Kerry, really technically very good all over the pitch. And we've all played in games, lads, at all levels. If a team is keeping the ball, it's fucking horrible to play against. Particularly in Croke Park, when you're trying to get that ball back, you have to have hyper, hyper energy. Everyone has to press up. This idea of sitting back, which was maybe what Glenelg's default style of play is.
They sat back, yeah.
You can't do that. Or you're going to have. There's nothing wrong with a Gaeltacht that keeping the ball for 2 or 3 minutes. Why wouldn't they? You know, and it's just, we know they can play other ways as well. But in terms of the challenge that was presented to them, they have technical quality, everyone on the same wavelength. And whatever it was about Glenelg, just no energy or spark. Maybe players not on the same wavelength. But if 13 players are pressing, trying to get the ball back, you're still fucked. Because there's always, if one guy isn't doing it, and this is why it's so hard to play against. It's not great to watch from as a spectacle, but it's very effective. If one guy sits off, there's always a spare man. And that's why, like you say, for a long passage of play, there was only going to be one winner here. Yeah. But from a Gaeltacht's perspective, what a brilliant performance on the biggest day. Not great to watch for the neutral, but Dermot Kinnaird, Fergal O'Shea, Aidan McGarrett, and all those players, absolutely delighted with that. They've controlled that game from start to finish. And total domination for the whole game. Brilliant performance.
Like, I agree, Paddy, that Glenelg sat back, right? But if you think about it, they conceded 12 points. Like, defensively, they can't, like, they set the tone of the game, but they didn't do that badly defensively. But in attack, like, they had so
many.
They were
never in the game, Jimmy. You know what I mean? They conceded 12 points, but they just didn't have the ball.
No, I know, but that game when they did.
Even though
they had the ball at times,
you know, which isn't bad.
Yeah. But there were times when they were attacking and they were 25, 30 yards out. If they steadied up, got an angle and chipped it over, there was 10 opportunities to do that. If they got 3 of them, it might have been 9-5. They're in the game. But like every attack, they were almost playing it like rugby, trying to run it into the goal. And the Gaeltacht, honestly, I played against the Gaeltacht this year, right? Physically, they are outstanding. They honed you. They're playing for that badge. They're playing for each other. They're stripping you of the ball and they're gone the other way. So I think they played completely into Gaeltacht's hands. And Gaeltacht had that little touch of class up front, especially with Rory Begley and Cathal Begley, that was just too much for him.
Yeah, the Glenelg manager after the game, lads, it was put to him in the kind of tunnel of Croke Park, or the press room in Croke Park, about their kind of setup, their style, the fact that Gaeltacht had about 75% possession and he kind of bit back. He was like, stats don't win games. Possession doesn't win you a lot of games of football. We've lived off scraps in other games and we've come through them. They had more possession, but we had more shots. We had more goal chances and our shooting just didn't function today. And that's why we lost the game. I know I might sound a wee bit pissed off, but that possession doesn't win you games. I'm really annoyed at ourselves that we didn't do ourselves justice. But I think, look at I don't know, it's only a year of evidence, but that zonal defense, that dropping off the way that they do, it hasn't worked for a couple of teams that have tried to do it in big games, especially in Croke Park, lads. Are we going to see the end of it, or are teams going to still try and set up like that?
They weren't in trouble defensively. I don't think defensively, fair enough, they sat back and they set the tempo for themselves. But like, there was one stage, they flashed up on the screen scoring efficiency, and they were 9%.
Yeah.
9. Like, that's where the game is. You're only as good as how many times you can kick it over the bar. Like, so I know we're saying they sat back or whatever, but it was in attack that they were struggling.
Yeah.
And that's team, my opinion of it. And Juventus is more in attack.
Yeah, they're a team that have scored 17 goals in their last six games. Remember, they were banking on getting one or two of them early on and setting up and rattling on Goethe, but it didn't happen. James, for a club that, you know, you'd be well aware of, they've got a really storied history. They've only got 181 adult club members. There's a win like this. We saw how emotional Darrow Canedo was last week speaking to Cartuk Van Bronnock after the bet, Salins in Porky Cueve. But does a win like this banish the heartbreak and the ghosts of previous defeats? Like that famous final with two of the smallest clubs on brilliant journeys of Caltra and Angueltuk for the senior All-Ireland in 04, even in 2018 when the Moy of Tyrone and Sean Kavanagh bet them in an intermediate semi-final. Does this wash away those defeats, do you think, for a club like that? Is it a bit cathartic?
Well, I suppose those defeats will be far from their minds now. Do you know that they're celebrating an All-Ireland win? And it's an incredible time for the club. Like, I'm so jealous that they get to experience that and go up to Croke Park and win for their club in Croke Park with everyone behind them. And it's just unbelievable. Like, obviously, in 2004, they won two county championships. They were an unbelievable team with the Shays and everything. And they got to the All-Ireland final. And they lost the All-Ireland semi as well. And then in 18, with the intermediate, they lost that semi-final. That's fair enough. But they're not going to be thinking anything about that now because they're all Ireland intermediate champions and thoroughly deserved as well. It's great for the players. And like even the semi-final win, I'd say the enjoyment they took from that, yeah. The fact that it went down to the wire, it came down to that 2.3 from Aidan O'Connor. Like even those kind of moments united a club. It's like they would have been talking about that. They'll talk about that for forever. Yeah. And the fact they go up to Croke Park and win and take home a trophy, like that's going to be with everyone for their whole lives. So
yeah,
I suppose it does, you know, make everyone forget. I suppose although those wounds are probably very deep for some of the fellas who talked out in Croke Park in 2004.
Yeah, Padraig O'Shea captained them to it. Maybe we should have set up camp this week in Ventry and Paddy O'Shea's lads and recorded the Football Pod Club down there.
Could be the great couple of weeks down there.
It could be. Oh. Now, they were saying afterwards, James, that this might give Ondangan Cúis Dingle that extra bit of bravery to go out and try and get the job done next week. So we'll come back to that in a few minutes. But there was another Kerry club in action that I want to briefly touch on. Ballymacgillicuddy became the 12th Kerry side to win the junior club All-Ireland out of 24 editions. So Fossa and Nagueil in recent years, Fanu, Gunnard, Firth were one of the first two to win it back in 04, 05 and 05, 06. It's only running since the turn of the millennium, this competition. Angueltuk, by the way, the 8th of 22 editions of the intermediate club All-Ireland. So Kerry are top of both of those roll of honours. They're not top of the senior. We'll get to that in a couple of minutes. But the better Tyrone side today, Clare Óg, who probably had a couple of very interesting players on the field. They had an All-Ireland winner and Conor Shields, who was part of the Tyrone panel in 21, and Kieran Bogue. I'm not sure to catch much of Kieran Bogue today, but this guy was very good for the losing side. He's been called in recently to Malachy O'Rourke's side. He was full forward on a Tyrone under 20 panel in 22 that bet Kerry in that All-Ireland final with Rory Canavan and Kieran Daly. So they were beaten today. Jack Joy caught the eye for Ballymac, Darragh Broderick in midfield and their captain Darragh Keane as well, so a big win for them as well.
Yeah, I tell you what, Kerry teams are flying. If you look at Kerry, they're reigning All-Ireland champions, reigning junior champions, reigning community champions, and touch wood, they have one more chance to create the clean sweep, and they have Jesse Buckley. I mean, it's just phenomenal.
And a golden glove. Why is this child like an Oscar on top of Sam McGuire?
Imagine.
As well as all that.
Yeah, I'm not even going to come in with the fact that Angueltuk, they're pretty much a senior team, right?
Well, they're a senior team now, but they weren't. Like, if you look at Ballymac are a brilliant football team in Kerry. They're actually playing in Division 1 of the County League.
That's my point. Yeah.
Do you say Angueltuk or Ballymac?
No, but both. I think the Kerry structures has them. Do you know, I think it's going to correct itself over the next couple of years. I think they're adding more and there's no relegation in junior.
I think it's rigged.
Well, they've been knocking on the door in junior for a couple of years and teams have beaten them and, you know, they found it hard to get out of those championships. But then when they found their spark, they're after winning an Ireland and deservedly so because they're a brilliant side. Yeah. But I thought that game was actually a far more enjoyable game to watch. It was kind of open. Both teams went at it. I thought a couple of the forwards on the Tyrone side were outstanding. That goal chance in the first half from
Kieran Bowe. The dummy.
I mean, phenomenal treble step dummy. But all through the game, he was so dangerous. Brilliant player. And if that goal rattled the net, Ballymac were probably in trouble at that stage because the lead had been kind of cut down. But I must say, a very enjoyable game, but Ballymac looked very strong, you know, and they created chances very well. And inside forwards taking on their men, getting shots off, it was just better football, I thought, in that game.
I know Kieran Bogue is just to mention him, but like he definitely stood out today, and it's junior club football. But I had mentioned he'd been drafted in by Malachy O'Rourke recently, and the Tyrone under 20 side that he was full forward on, they bet Dylan Ganey's Kerry side in the All-Ireland final that year, Killian Burke, Sean O'Brien was on that team too. Do you reckon Kieran Bogue, you know, when he gets a bit of a break now, could break in and make an impact? Obviously, Tyrone are flush with young forward talents.
Yeah, I think he's shown as much as I've seen from any forward in the club scene. I suppose he looks like a fellow who probably needs to maybe bulk up a little bit, because I think, like all those, Tyrone have just so many forwards of that size and stature that are just outstanding footballers. It's like they need some big fella stuck in the middle of them or something, you know, just to win a ball or two for them. But the skill levels, the shimmies, the point taking, outstanding.
I wonder, is he benching more than 60 kg at the minute? That'd be a question for him. Paddy, we've got a senior club All Ireland final this weekend between St Bridget's and Dingle. This is going to be a good game, right? We're guaranteed a good game here, aren't we?
Well, the fact Dingle's last two games have been two of the games of the century. it's very hard to do it three times in a row. My fear is that we all went in expecting, I just go back to the All-Ireland final in July as well, where the whole country's expecting this absolutely incredible matchup, and it didn't turn out to be that way. And then even just today's finals were a little bit off as well. Like we've been on so many times the last couple of years going through the club season pods, and we just said the last 10 minutes of every club match are nearly guaranteed to the wire, helter-skelter. Cliffhanger finishes, and look, we've got that in two of the last Ingle games, but I think it will be a really good game. I'm just afraid with the final that it might not live up to what we're hoping to, but look, we said it last week after Dingle being cooked, they're coming back against Ballybone. It does feel like there's a bit of something extra behind them this year, but then you see what Bridges did to Scotstown up in Breffni Park as well. That was a really, really accomplished performance. They have a bit more experience of this day. Probably should have got the job done against Glenn a couple of years ago, you know, probably 4 points up with 5 minutes to go. So a lot of those players are back involved again. They'll feel they have their own score to settle. So, look, I think it sets up a brilliant game. They've been two very, very good teams to watch. Dingle in particular have been incredible. But it's a really tough one to call. Probably leaning towards maybe Bridget's just around that experience. But then Dingle just have had so many moments this year with the quality they have. You feel like there's a name and a trophy in there somewhere for them as well. So I think it sets up a brilliant game.
The Bridget's wing backs, Rory Fallon and their joint captain, Paul McGrath, have been so important for them throughout their campaign. I've seen them quite a bit. You'd imagine Brian Stack will end up closer to the square. He can obviously play out the field.
He's got the Mark Ganey, hasn't he? Like,
Paul, yeah.
If you're playing Dingle, Ganey's so critical to everything they do. I know they have other threats as well, the other Ganeys, but he's the talisman for them. And he thinks Stack has marked so many in his job, whether it's with Bridges or whether it's with the Rossies, as a man marker. He could, and he's a leader as well. Now, I know he got a bang the last day, and you would imagine by hook or by crook he's going to be on the pitch, but you get the sense he can go out there and go, I'm just going to forget about everything else. If I can take out Paul Ganey, you'd have to think that would probably win Bridges the game. Would that be fair, Jimmy?
Will it, James?
Yeah, I think that obviously Ganey has been phenomenal. I'm just thinking about the Croke Park factor, Eddie, right? Mm. The way that's going to play so open in a club final. Like, I actually think that Bridget's, they might need to mark four of the Dingle lads very, very tight. And I'm thinking Tom Sullivan will be really high up on the agenda for Bridget's. Tom ran the game.
You have to be.
When Pat Warren went off the field against Ballyboden, Tom just took it on, kick six. Then the Crow Park thing is in my head for Conor Ganey and Dylan Ganey, because the legs, the pace, the kicking ability of both, I think would be really hard to stop there. And I think that both might get trigger happy in a good way in Croke Park. I think they'll take shots, be willing to miss, just keep going. I think if that's the advice I was given from the Dingle dressing room, be keep shooting. I think that they will create lots of chances. And then Gainey just needs to do what he does and make every decision right and bring the lads into it. But after watching the Scotstoun and Bridges game, I don't know if the Bridges full back line as stable as it could be. I think that that's where Dingle could make hay. I mean, Jack McCarron got a couple of backdoor cuts. You know, he a little bit of good movement. They created a chance. They just didn't have enough help with McCarron to finish him off.
But I think that Stack will have to go back and Mark Gainey.
I know. But it's a bit like Kelly for Galway. Do you know when they're thinking, do I put him back in the full back line and take his attacking prowess, almost make that redundant and take away from our overall game?
I think you have to hear that because there's such a discrepancy between if he doesn't go back, you feel Gainey could make hay. Not just Gainey, but and I agree, like the space in a club game, I know it's still 15 players, but it's just there is more space. The guys aren't getting back as quick and filling those holes. You look at someone like Ben O'Carroll as well, who's really cool. You know, I'm a major fan of him and a really quiet final. You know, who picks him up on the Dingle side? I agree, like Dingle aren't going to put Thomas Sullivan back there. They want Thomas Sullivan to really be the playmaker going forward as well, especially after that insane performance against Ballybone. So I know we're making lots of cases here. We're saying Dingle posed all the problems, but I think Bridges would probably win this one. I just think their experience, counter attacking side as well. Anthony Cunningham was alluding to it, like they were very professional, and how I know Scotstoun weren't great, but they were very professional how they cut out Beggan out of the game. They've been around the block before as well. There's no doubt Dingle have superstars, but I don't know. I just have a feeling for Bridget in this one, lads.
I think you mentioned two fellas there, lads. Ben O'Carroll and Conor Gainey. And Mark O'Shea always says it, beware the Gosson who has a quiet semi-final in an All-Ireland final or a final. Do you know, like Conor, his shooting boots weren't on. He kept going and he played a big role in one of the key goals and kicked the score or two. And Ben O'Carroll only kicked the point and was whipped off for his brother, who kicked the kind of winner late on for Bridges or the insurance score. So they're two lads we're keeping an eye on. The Tom O'Sullivan conundrum, right? Because clearly he was so integral in the second half and he's so adept at scoring. But what do you do when you're facing him? Because he's going to line out obviously with four on his back, probably in and around maybe the fourth defender who can mark up or can be free to go. Do Bridges typically play five forwards and have either started Senan Kilbride, who is a 40-year-old full forward who's just back playing his first championship campaign in 6 years, or they've started Mark Daly, who's more of a midfielder, who got injured the last day. That six forward spot, do you end up putting a defender there, a kind of a runner, a tracker to go back and tag Tom Sullivan? Do you attack that front on, or what do you do with something like that?
Well, I'm just thinking back to a time that Jack McCaffrey was outrageous for Dublin, and we put Gavin White on him 1 year, and it did no one any favours. It took away from Gavin, and you could tell Jack McCaffrey was just still biding his time to go and to burst. My personal idea about marking a very attacking defender is put an attacker on him to keep him busy going the other direction. And then it's very, very much a case of hammer to hammer going the other way. It's like, it's a team job on him. You know, it can't be just one man stopping him. But like, there's nothing better than if your man is going up the field, right? And he's having a bit of impact. And next thing you go down the other side and you swing over too. And you give him a little dunt in the chest and you go, I'm after picking two, baby. Like, it's just a great feeling. So like, I think that if you go defensive on a player like that, they're still going to be able to get the ball and run the show. So it'll be really interesting to see what they do there. But I'd be attacking players like that, but that would just be my idea.
Paddy, Kevin Keegan, live on the pod. Like, well, I hope they do what Jimmy's doing, because that means it's going to be a way better game. It's just like, we'll let you off and then we'll do damage on the other side. It's hard to know. Like, we get into this thing, lads, where you can't man mark everyone. You know, we've had this conversation so many times this season with teams playing against Kerry. You know, we've seen the Mamert David Clifford, and then you leave someone else off. There's the danger of, again, going back to Galway in the final, your team leaving Paddy Clifford free. Do you leave someone? Tom Sullivan would have that type of impact on a game. If, I'm not saying he's going to be left off, but I think I'd be leaning towards what Jimmy's saying for a defender. Like maybe meet him come across the halfway line, but there's other players that St. Bridget's. And again, this is not the first time they're going to come up against quality halfbacks or threatening halfbacks. I think Anthony Cunningham's one of the most experienced guys, coaches in the country. It's an idea with, you know, maybe let one of the other defenders have the ball, but if Tom Sullivan gets it and comes across the halfway line, we are after him. You know, he's just not someone you want, particularly a 2-point scorer. He can be a threat that outside and left. We know he loves it. I think they'll have a plan for him, but it might not be as rigid as with Paul Gainey. You know, Gainey's going to stay inside the 21. You literally can't switch off for a second with him, whereas it's a little bit more leeway with someone like Tom Sullivan. But I don't think Anthony Cullen or that Bridges team would be looking at, here's a guy coming up from defence kicking 6 points. I'd be amazed if they let that happen. They're just an experienced team. And like the flip side, whatever you're talking about, Mark O'Shea, someone who does have an incredible semi-final is just bullseye for the opposition for the final. So it's just another intriguing part of it. And that's why there's brilliant players on both teams, which sets up, you get this, the last couple of All-Ireland club finals, there's been marquee players on the sides, and just hope it leads to a good game, because like today was a bit of a damage grip.
Yeah, no, agreed. They're going to be belters. I think at this point of the week, I'm with Paddy, but the goal chances and Bridget's at the moment.
Bridget's as favourites.
I'm very, very...
Not by much, but...
Narrowly on Bridges, but I just think as the game goes on, like Paul Gainey has said he's going to be fit, Brian Stack has said he's going to be fit, Mark O'Connor has confirmed he's going to be playing. it all matters on who's there and who's out there. But the goal chances, if Dingle can get as many, as James said, if Dingle can create as many goal chances as Scotstown did and take them or take half of them, it's very hard to beat a team that is burying goals like that in an All Ireland final. So, it's going to be, I'm sitting on the fence, I think, for the moment. Okay, lads, this is the
Is there
part.
Any danger of, you know, look at last year's final with Kuehl and Eric Kieran, where Eric Kieran just did not show up in the first half.
Yeah, they lost Derek Canavan.
They lost Derek, but even before that, and with Dingle, we know Bridges have been there, they have that experience literally just 2 years ago. Is there danger that with Dingle, Jimmy? Mm. They've had
slow
starts, most final, All-Ireland semi-final. It's just
amazing. If Dingle went 10 down, they'd fight back. There's just something in them. Like, it's just a trait they have at the moment. They're fighting for each other. Like, I'd be shocked because I think these two teams are so evenly matched. I think Bridges are a savage side as well. Like, so well drilled. Everything is just nice and smooth, right shots, right selection. There's nothing, very you know, outrageous. They're not banking on any one avenue. They're so balanced. So I don't see either side coming out and pulling away, to be honest. I think this is going to be tit for tat. I agree with Tommy. I think the goal chances could be a thing. The space of Croke Park and the quality up front on both sides. Ben O'Carroll, I fancy to have a good game as well, because I said he's a quiet semi-final, but he's such a good player. Such a good player. And the big day, you know, chance to win your club something massive. There's definitely a dummy and a goal chance in him. If he hits the net, you know, it could be his day. It could be Bridget's day.
Yeah, that was a bit of an inception analysis on the podcast there, because you were agreeing with me and I was agreeing with you about your analysis of the game. This is right, James. We're supposed to be at loggerheads when it comes to predictions and previews. And
when you're right, you're right. It's not often, so I give you the credit when you do say something. You know.
Likewise. Okay, I am saying
I am nailing my colours to Dingle's mass this week. I think they're the better team. I think that I'm not saying they're a better team. It's 50-50 team-wise, but the journey Dingle have been on, for them, I just like, it's like their name is on the trophy. I think if they're in a meeting over the next couple of days, and even the night before, it's like, lads, let's just look at the path we've been on, right? This is our year. Do not bloody leave this after you. We're going to remember this for the rest of our lives. We have Mark O'Connor. He's probably getting on a plane tomorrow morning. Do you know, let's do it while we have everyone, and this is our last chance. So I think I can't see Dingle leaving it after him. I think they're going
to
do it.
Jimmy, what did Bridget say on the other side?
That's the thing. We lost the final
2 years ago. We had it won. We won with a half hands on the trophy.
Beautiful little soliloquy, James. But I do think that if Anthony Cunningham was to clip your little speech to Dingle there, it'd be more effective in the Bridges dressing room. That's written. It's written in the stars. It's Dingle. Bridges' journey. Their story, as Paddy is saying.
Hey, Danny, just for the record, I have a soft spot for Dingle, obviously. I think anyone who's been to Dingle, you know, whether going down on holidays with the lads, going on the absolute piss, or going down with the family for a more civilised trip, it's an amazing place. So I have a little soft spot for Dingle. I would have hoped that they'd win, but on the basis that we have to go and interview the winners, I do fear a fucking 11-hour round trip.
You want to go?
It would have been handy shooting across the Rathfarnham up of the M50 if Ballyboden fuck it up. That would have been a lot easier. But I'd like Dingle to win, but I think Bridget's might nick it.
Yeah, I think. Yeah, okay.
And be great for them as well. Obviously, I'm impartial.
Comment in slightly separate to this from Ger Scully. From during the week, Paul Gainey is probably the most underrated player nationally of the last 15 years. What a great player. Possibly was seen as second fiddle to other Kerry stars, but always had massive big game performances. Round 2017-ish, he was arguably the best player in the country, Jaron Mayo. Is that fair, that 2017 era for Paul Gainey? Like, obviously, Dublin were strolling into there.
I don't think so.
No.
I think he's rated incredibly highly. But I suppose... I know what he means in a way that, you know, with Clifford and things, you'd be eulogising about them all together. Maybe Paul is so consistent that you almost take him for granted at times. And I agree with that 17, that spell of 2016-17, he had the bit between the teeth. I remember even in training, he was unbelievable, unstoppable.
Really?
I agree. I think he was definitely in the top two or three players in the country at that stage. So I would agree with that.
Okay, lovely. You are listening to the Football Pod of Paddy Anders and James O'Donoghue, who is brought to you every week with thanks to AIB, proud sponsors of the junior, senior and intermediate All-Ireland Championships in Camogie, hurling, ladies football and football. We'll be back right after this talking a little bit more football as we get ready for the return of the inter-county game.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Winter Sale and get 30% off paints and stains January 9th through the 19th. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.
OTB GAA.
You're very welcome back to the Football Pod. Boys, we didn't even mention the fact that Manchester United have been hammering since we last recorded a pod. And we're back at it. We're like, Fletcher's in.
A managerial merry-go-round.
Yeah, we're after watching them. I don't know if he watched it, but I watched them lose an FA Cup game this evening. They drew with Burnley last week despite having 78 shots on target. They're going to bring in a new interim management team. I don't know, Paddy, are you looking for Ole to be at the wheel or not?
No. What an absolute fucking shambles. Absolute fucking shambles. This is a fella they binned. He was literally, they couldn't get him out of the place quick enough. After a 4-0 defeat.
He's a nice guy, Offord, though. He's nice.
Lovely. So we're all lovely fellas. They overlap. Roy Keane, they're all great lads. Yeah. Like, it's a shit show. I think Ineos are more full of shit than your man Woodward. Like. Yeah. At least everyone knew Woodward was a complete spoofer. It was Ineos.
Woodford didn't hide it.
Fucking show.
Bring it in Brailsford. They lost me with Brailsford.
Disgrace. Bring back Dan Ashworth. Must they pay for him for a month?
Yeah, I don't know.
No, I'm giving up on United, lads. And thank God the inter-county season is back in 2 weeks' time.
That's what I say. I think McKenna for United from Ipswich.
Okay, you just go in and take him. He's showing well.
I don't know. Like, what? Amarin was like the young up-and-coming coach. Like, and so that was... fucking car crash as well, like, so we don't.
Yeah,
can't get any worse, really, can it? Than 15th in the league, and then this year, like,
Yeah, just thought I'd mention it briefly as we segue into the preseason trends. And I'm going to throw a couple of things at you because these things matter so much, but they actually don't really mean much at all. Tony Brosnan scored 115 today as Kerry put 127 past Waterford. A huge scoring for Tony Brosnan. It's not going to mean a huge amount to his season this year, but just thought that was worth mentioning. 127 to 1 point. I actually went to see Kerry play Clare in the first round of the McGrath Cup the other day. Very impressed with young Tomás Kennedy, full forward. Kerry weren't afraid to go direct to him. They had Kieran Donaghy on the line for the first time. James Costo, Jack O'Connor were there. So that was two wins for Kerry. They're playing Cork in the McGrath Cup final. Cork qualifying for the McGrath Cup final, despite getting clipped by Limerick today by 5 points, Jim Nocton scoring 2-5. Limerick made 14 changes from their Tipperary defeat. So it was more of a full-strength Limerick side. Cork made 13 changes. So I don't know how much we can read into this. Another trend that is very important. It sounds important, but it means absolutely nothing. Andy Moran's Mayo kicked more two-pointers in 10 second-half minutes today against Roscommon than Mayo kicked in their entire 2025 championship last year. They kicked six in the second half.
What were the conditions like in that match?
I'd say there was a wind. I didn't bother looking, to be honest.
There's a wind warning on the West Coast. So I would imagine, I would take that with a pinch of salt. If there's a 100 kilometer an hour wind behind you, you're probably going to pull the trigger. I'd wait and hold judgment on if Andy has figured out the 2-point solution for Mayo until the National League kicks in. But you mentioned this pre-season tournament, they've got a lot of coverage over the last while, whether they're going to be binned and they're brought back this year.
Yeah.
There's just not a lot of space for them, but coaches are using them this year. You've said it there. To find players. Mm-hmm. 13, 14 changes. That is the value of these competitions. I remember myself starting playing in O'Byrne Cup games where it was the biggest thing in your career to get a start. So you mentioned someone like Tony Brosnan to score 115 today. That is important for him to do that. Even though he's an established player and has been around the block with Kerry, there's a guy, and Jack O'Connor's looking at this going, who we need two or three new faces in our team if we're going to defend the All-Ireland or retain the All-Ireland title. Can't be the same 15 players. And Tony Brosnan's probably sitting there going, fuck. Towards the end of last season, he wasn't as important. He had a period in the middle where he was coming on for the last quarter and he'd been really effective and probably drifted out of a little bit. He's looking to set a stall out. And it's important for the other guys like young Kennedy. I seen Jack O'Connor. I was surprised he was kind of talking about him a lot.
He wasn't afraid to.
And a lot of faith in this guy, which is important, which would be great for Kennedy to hear that. But for Tony Brosnan, he's looking going, I know this is a non-event game that no one is really going to remember outside of within the Kerry camp in a couple of weeks' time, never mind months' time. But he's putting his hand up going, it's the 11th of January and I'm mad for road with a view to, I want to start the first three or four National League games. And while other guys are taking their time coming back. And that's what some players have to do with these tournaments. You know, that's the reality of it. You're not going to see the marquee guys. Lots of teams making lots of changes, but this could be the start of a major season for some of these guys. And you'd be surprised how many players kick off in the FBD League or the McGrath Cup or the McKenna Cup or the O'Byrne Cup, and all of a sudden they have the season of a lifetime. You know, so.
Yeah. Well, Cork, I can confirm, guys, it's very well put. And, you know, I think we saw Cork are going to play Kerry in the McGrath Cup final. Galway are going to play Mayo in the FBD League final, I believe. So two bits of news from during the week. I caught up with Andy Moran and Pádraig Joyce last week around the FBD League, and Pádraig Joyce confirmed that Matthew Thompson lit up the championship last year, is off to Berkeley on Erasmus for the next 6 months. So he's going to miss pretty much the entire Connacht Championship. He might be back for a Connacht final if Galway get there, but he'll probably be back for the All-Ireland series. He's bringing a size 5 with him. But he scored 2-6 in one of his last games, I'd imagine, before he jets off to California. And Andy Moran confirmed, I think we already kind of knew it, that Kobe McDonald is going to be part of his panel alongside a host of other youngsters. Dara Byrne is in there too, and a couple of others that have kind of caught the eye. So, you know, panels are going to be cut down over the next little while, but they're definitely players that are in their plans that are managers over the next couple of weeks and months. In the O'Byrne Cup, we've got an O'Byrne Cup final, I believe, of Kildare against Westmeath. Shield final, Carlow against Wicklow. And I don't want to tell you who's in the McKenna Cup final because I'm waiting to hear which results get overturned later in the week, because we had three results null and void last week over ineligible players in the McKenna Cup. So I don't know. I know they take it more seriously up in Ulster, but I don't know if they are, because they're not keeping on top of their administrative rules when it comes to players. I don't know what's going on there. James, this doesn't really get your... January never really gets your juices going, does it?
January? It depends on...
How was that?
It depends on the position in the panel. Like, honestly...
Jimmy was a young fellow once. January hard. Many moons.
The McGrath Cup got me my Kerry chance twice, really. Right. Under Jack, he brought me in from McGrath Cup. And then when Fitzmaurice took over, and obviously everyone's position is up in the air, I had a very good McGrath Cup. Do you know, so it definitely has its place. If you're given the chance, you still have to perform, because you can do as much damage to your reputation or your position in the panel by playing poorly as you can, than you can gain by playing well. So, someone like, what I'm thinking of now, someone like Paul Gainey, right, has kept fit. I know he's had injuries, but he's kept fit all through the winter. He's not going to have to do a mad preseason. He can carry on nice and handy into the National League after a short break. I think it will suit Paul, the winter he's had. Whereas someone else like Tony Brosnan there, last year obviously went with Crokes all the way to the All-Ireland semi-final, had no break. He's someone who needed a break. He's freshened up this winter and is coming into January, so he's probably mad for road. So I suppose it depends on where you are in your career, what you did over a couple of years.
Yes.
And also how your body is. There's a couple of different avenues to it, but it definitely has its place.
Can I ask you, what was your favorite ever McGrath Cup appearance? Because I have one for you.
Oh, I played a game with you, Will.
Yes.
Against UCC.
Yes.
And it was UCC. They were the bee's knees. They were this typical UCC all talking. Oh, God, oh, my
fucker.
And we came down and obviously did the business,
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Michael Quinlivan scored 2-4 for UCC. Connor Cox scored 1-6 for UCC. But James O'Donoghue scored 1-10 for a Liam Kearns managed UL side. Paul White scored 2-2, but it was Jimmy who fired over the lead point for UL.
Come on.
2014.
14.
He was already an All-Star.
Player of the year.
That's actually why I said the carry-on. I played with the college all the winter and then the McGrath Cup and then just played on in National League with no break, and it suited me at that time. So some fellas might get a bit of joy out of playing that time of year. Yeah. Other fellas, it's the worst thing they could ever do.
The Irish Independent piece. Only about 100 people watched this extraordinary McGrath Cup quarterfinal at Limerick's Gaelic Grounds, which produced a whopping 9 goals and 34 points. It was all the more remarkable.
Fucking last man back, was it? Like,
Jesus, as the final quarter. The final quarter was played in virtual darkness and torrential rain, which had briefly delayed the start of the second half.
Jimmy was hiding. No one could find him.
Yeah.
Which game was that? The same game?
That was UL and UCC, yeah. And there's a nice photo here of the late Liam Kearns, who obviously coached you, James, in that UL.
Yeah, legend. We got on great. He was a great manager for us.
Yeah, yeah. A really, really sound man. So, that was the... Geez, your UL days keep coming back up. Paddy, I'm going to go looking here for a couple of O'Byrne Cup stories. Or will we just let them go? Because we had that own goal one before. Do you remember?
Yeah. Scored 25 yards on goal.
There must be some good ones. Yeah. There must be some good ones.
Following year, I was a World Cup winning captain. So what a bounce back that was.
There you go.
We were the first university team to win one of the competitions.
Oh, and I'm looking at a photo here as well of you. Jesus, that's a great one. Yeah. You look the same.
Less grays, Tommy. Less grays. Yeah, we bet loud, I think. It was the same final again the following year, and we bet loud. Then I was actually captain in a World Cup final a couple of years later for Dublin, and we were fucking beaten in extra time by Kildare.
Oh.
Tim Gavin's first year. Yeah, Kildare got a goal towards the end.
Okay. So
winning captain with two different teams, which I'm almost certain would not have been done before.
Jesus.
But that was the time of my career, exactly like Jimmy said, the overall cup, you had to come on because you're trying to put your stamp on it. And then we went the full other end, but the last of World Cup game we played was 2016. We had a pretty good team out against Longford, and we lost. Yeah. Longford hammered us up at Longford, and we were such a disgrace that Jim Gavin pulled us from the World Cup forever after that.
Wow.
We never played it again. I think all the under 21s played the next 3 or 4 years. Mm. So, two different sides of the coin.
But, well, Longford have serious Bronco pedigree. They actually lost their title this year by the flip of a coin when their game couldn't be played against Westmeath. They won it last year.
They wasn't playing. A World Cup, if you look, I seen the results yesterday, obviously, down in Newbridge.
Yeah.
That would be a nice... If Kildare win it, in terms of just their upward momentum, another bit of silverware for Brian Flanagan and that group of players... Not that it's the most important thing, but it just keeps that bit of momentum. Dublin on the other side, totally, I know they were playing another game this weekend, probably more the established frontliners, but for Ger Brennan, the challenge, he has to find 20 players. So the World Cup is a perfect thing for him to try and unearth two or three of those guys. Tough place to go for a young and experienced team to go to St. Connolly's Park. So will we see two or three of those guys that were in that Dublin squad in a couple of weeks' time in the National League? We'll have to wait and see, but that's what they're trying to do.
They'll be up against Donegal in that opening league game. Donegal had an interesting team out against Antrim today, a decent Antrim team as well, and Tyrone bet down in their game too. So, lads, I think we'll leave it there this week's football pod. We'll be back next week after the All-Ireland Club final finishes. We'll have a pod that night. We'll definitely touch on the All-Ireland Club final. We'll be looking ahead to the National Football League as well. But as we've mentioned, we'll be bringing you a special podcast on the Wednesday. We'll record it on the Tuesday. It'll be released on the Wednesday.
Should we do this Tuesday afternoon recording?
I think we'll be dictated to by the All-Ireland winners themselves. They'll be letting us know when they can do, what time they can do. But it'll definitely be Tuesday.
Tuesday evening, let the victorious team semi-recover from their two-day session, and we'll rock in breath of fresh air on a Tuesday afternoon, Tuesday evening. Pick up the spirits.
That sounds like they'll want to see us. Paddy Andrews.
That loan or Ventry, we'll see.
Well, it's a good sign. It's a good sign of the season. Paddy James, anything else before we leave it there?
That's it, Tom.
Good work, boys. Talk soon. Thank you.
Fair play, boys.
Cheers for listening, folks. Bye-bye.